Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled Dangerous Religion from Joel 2, 12 through 13.
We're coming to this passage today, and I have to tell you that when I was looking at it, I really didn't want to preach it. I know you're not supposed to say that as a minister, but it's true of all the passages that we could preach on a second Sunday of Advent, of all the passages in the midst of a pandemic. Why this one? Now, we're taking these passages. They've been given to us as we're walking through some great passages and people throughout this year. And for the most part, I've liked it. It's been good. But this one, really, we're going to rend our hearts. We're going to weep. We're going to fast. Is that really what we need on a week like this? And I came this close to not using it. I came this close to jumping into something else that had to do with hope and with light and something a little more positive, particularly for these times. But I didn't, and for a couple reasons. One is, one of my practices throughout this season has been to not try to control all the things around me, but to accept them, and as long as they're not bad, to try and learn from them. And this passage isn't bad, it's just really uncomfortable. And that led me to the example of C.S. Lewis. Most people know him as this wonderful author and thinker of the 20th century. For Christianity. Many people don't know that he came to faith very late in life as an adult. And when he was asked about that later, if this was, he came because this is where he found happiness and he found his comfort, I loved his response and I thought it was instructive for today when he says, "I really never expected religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. And if you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Joel would understand that. Joel would understand that there are things that we need to hear and there are things that we need to confront if we are going to connect in ways that are meaningful, that always don't make us happy, but they're important, which led me to the third reason we're doing this passage, is because in the center of it is this issue of the heart. And it is this core of who we are, and it's this tension between heart and religion. And before people kind of go off on this and say, "Oh, I'm not religious," I get that. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to begin here with the heart. Let me just ask this, how is your heart? You know that in modern times we have kind of separated that out artificially in ways that Joel would never have understood. We think of heart as opposed to the mind, the thinking, and then I come at it with my head versus my heart. The Bible knows none of that. In fact, the heart in the Bible is the place where it integrates everything. It integrates my intellect, my wisdom. It integrates the part of me that has to do with my emotions, yes. My wisdom, yes, my will, my courage. It has to do with where I make decisions about what is right and what is wrong. It has to do with the decisions about how I am going to interact with that part of me that is, in fact, spiritual. So rather than being an either or, the heart is the place that integrates all of those things. And it integrates including that part of me that is my flesh and blood, time and space self, me here, and that part of me that is spiritual and connected to God and to the divine. By the way, if you were waking up this morning and said, "Boy, I really need more Venn diagrams in my life," this may be your lucky day. If you were hoping to find a simple two-dimensional graph that would help explain the mysteries of the universe, you hang around. And if you're not, hang around anyway. I think this might be helpful. Because what it is, it's this part of, let's turn that on its end over here. And it's this connects me to this part that is imperishable, that is internal, that has to do with God. And that part of me that is flesh and blood, time and space, this entity that I call me. And the place that connects to all that place where they integrate, if they integrate at all, And to the degree that it grows me, that's my heart. That's my heart. And when we grasp that, that heart is the place that is the intersection between the universe and all that it belongs to God and all that belongs to my own limited flesh and blood existence, then we begin to understand how important the heart is. We also maybe begin to understand what Desjardins was trying to communicate when he says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And whether all of that makes sense completely or not, it does underline that maybe even today, especially today, in this season, that the underlying concern, the greatest need of my life, your life, of humanity's right now, is to somehow develop and grow the heart. Which brings us back to religion. And for all those who say, I'm not religious, I get where that's coming from. And I like to say the same thing sometimes, but I also know that it's not a matter of if we are religious, it's just how we are religious. Religion has to do, whether it's formal or informal, it has to do with our belief system and the way we make sense of and the practices that we live our life to somehow operate and make sense of this life. And so whether I religiously come to church and read the Bible and pray, or whether I religiously stay away from all those things, it's kind of the same thing. And the question isn't, will I be, but how will I be, and how is it helping or not? There is a way of doing religion that is completely unhelpful, which is what Joel is trying to get at. Rather than connecting me, it insulates me, it seals me off. It means I don't have to do anything challenging. It means I get to focus in on me. I get to think about what makes me comfortable, what makes me happy. It has to do with how I keep God and others at arm's distance. And Joel would say, that's the problem, people of God. That's why you are where you are. That's why you are decimated right now, because the result of you do that, and you do that long enough, what happens, and the prophets, Joel and all the other prophets always agree, here's what happens. When you are sealed off, then you fall into the practices of idolatry, where you make anything else your ultimate concern. When your ultimate concern and your ultimate longing is no longer to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not integrating any of that anymore. Or whether you are keeping people at arm's distance, and so now you are not only not loving God, now you are not loving your neighbor, and the result, you go that long enough, is injustice. And you've severed yourself off from the very concerns of God and from one another. Rend your hearts, Joel says. I don't care about rending your garments. I don't care about rending and doing all those things that look good to others religiously. I don't care about all the things that look spiritual. If you really want to make a difference, begin to open up your heart, because that's what healthy religion does. If unhealthy and toxic religion seals me off and insulates me from the presence of God and one another, then healthy religion does just the opposite. It innervates me, it opens me up, it aerates me, so that I am more and more able to recognize God and where God is in my life and how God and we are all connected. How do you know if your religion is helping? How do you know if it's toxic? Start with Christmas. Here we are at Christmas time, and you know, if in this season the concern is more about what we are getting rather than developing a heart that is giving, we need to check our hearts. More to the point, if we are more concerned with the fact that people have used different language and they no longer say Merry Christmas at the store, maybe they say Happy Holidays, and if that puts us off to the point that we don't even worry anymore about the people who in this season are homeless and hungry, we need to check our heart. More than that, we need to check what kind of religion do we have that's allowing that to happen. More to the point, in this season, in this Christmas time, in this pandemic, when there are so many things that are losses and so many things that we grieve, if we get to the point where in the midst of that we are so engrossed with what we have lost and the losses that we have, to the point that we are less and less able to see the losses of those around us and those who have lost their lives and the people whose families are in grief or and all those who are in the healthcare profession and all those, if that's what's happening, then Christmas has become part of a toxic, unhealthy religion. And our heart is in trouble. We would do well to learn from one young man who grew up wealthy, but his parents died when he was young. And because he was so captivated by the love of God, the mercy, the grace of God, that he began to give his money away. And at first people thought he was kind of crazy and he didn't really want to draw attention to himself. So he started to do it surreptitiously. He started to do it secretly. And he would give money to people in the middle of the night when they couldn't see him, but people began to suspect who it was, and as time went on, they began to recognize there was something in this young man's heart that was magnetic, and they began to be drawn to him and to whatever it was that was in his life. And sometimes when people find people like that, they make them saints, and that's what happened to him. He became known as Saint Nicholas. And yeah, it's the same Saint Nicholas that from that real life person became what we sometimes talk about today as Santa Claus. Some people think we have too much talk about Santa Claus at Christmas. I think we need more. More particularly if it gets us back to the heart of Saint Nicholas, because here is a healthy heart. Here is a soul that is so connected and so infused with the love and the mercy and the kindness of God. That he still blesses people today. Likewise, we come to a table. Today is communion, and we come to that table on this day, which is St. Nicholas Day, the day we celebrate the death of St. Nicholas. And as we come to this table, we know that this table, the communion table, can be a place of communion, a place where we connect with God and with one another in deep and profound ways. But we also know that it can become a place of great division and separation. You've heard me say before that in American church history alone, there are over 10,000 different denominational affiliations and organizations, 10,000 different reasons why we figured out we can't come to this table together, why I wouldn't be comfortable with that person, or why that person shouldn't become and being a part of what I'm doing. We've made a mockery of something that is meant to help be a practice that draws us together, and it has become the very essence of what divides us. If that's our faith, if that's our religion, then we are in the danger zone. We are in the danger zone because we have hearts that are becoming more and more sealed off and insulated from God and what God is doing and from one another. There is a painter named Hans Cloder, and I've used this painting before. I so much love this painting, and I fused it with a quote that I like so much from Rachel Held Evans, when it says, this is what God's kingdom looks like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes. And there's always room for more. As we come this day on St. Nicholas Day, as we come to this table, how's your heart? What's the condition of it? There are things to look at, and maybe the response is, I need to open myself up. I need to rend my heart. I need to repent of the things that have sealed me off from God. Maybe it is instead to come to this day not with a closed heart or be so engrossed with self, but to come open-handed. Maybe it begins here today. Maybe it begins with passages that are hard but are necessary, because they open us up to the God who is already waiting, the God who is waiting for us to catch a glimpse again of grace, of kindness, of mercy, and a love that lasts forever. Maybe it begins today. There is room for more.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. go in peace.